I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, saving faith or religious profession. Which do I have? True saving faith or just a religious profession? Now, my text is found in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 5th verse. Now, in this message, I'm going to deal with some critical issues. I think some things that need to be said in this day. If you will, turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, and let's read the scriptures. Paul's the author of the book of Corinthians, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, examine yourselves, not other people, but yourself, not your neighbor, but examine yourself. Your heart is the only heart that you can examine. Whether you be in the faith, there's just one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And you're to examine yourself, I'm to examine myself, whether I am in the faith. Prove yourself. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ dwelleth in you, except you be a reprobate, an outcast, except you be a reprobate. Now, it is not true, absolutely not true, that a person has to wait to the judgment to find out if he's saved or not saved. That's just not true. A person does not have to wait till he gets to the judgment, to the end of the world, to find out if he's a child of God or a child of wrath. The reason I say that that's not true is because our Lord commands us to examine ourselves right now and settle this matter of faith in our hearts. That's what I just read to you. Examine yourself now. Determine your relationship with Christ right now. In other words, like Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, 28, when the Apostle Paul gave the Lord's table to the early church, and he said, what I've received of the Lord, I delivered unto you. He said, when you come to this table of the Lord, examine yourselves. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Examine himself for what? To determine whether he understands what this table's all about. To determine whether he discerns the broken body and the shed blood of Christ and has an interest therein. To determine his own interest in this table. And then in Hebrews 3, verse 12, Paul says, take heed, brethren, lest there be found in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So it's just not true. It's not true that a man has to wait to the judgment to find out if he's saved or lost, if he's a child of God or a child of wrath. We can know now. And we're supposed to determine that issue right now. In fact, believers of the Old Testament and our early church fathers in the New Testament were sure of their interest in Christ. This doesn't sound like uncertainty on the part of Job when he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. That in the latter day, he's going to stand on this earth. And though worms destroy this body, though this flesh goes back to the dust from whence it came, in the flesh, I'm going to see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. These eyes shall behold my Redeemer. I know he lives. There's no uncertainty there. David, writing about the Redeemer, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Notice he didn't say, I know when I believe, though I'm sure he did. But he says, I know whom. And he didn't say, I know in whom. He said, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day, the day of judgment. And listen to John. The book of John, 1 John, the book of 1 John, the epistle, has to do with two things mainly. They run straight through that epistle, faith and love, faith and love, faith and love. And he uses the word know so often, know. Know, and he says this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So believers in the Old Testament and our early church fathers in the New Testament, they were not uncertain about their relationship with God Almighty in Christ. They knew. They had confidence. They were not overconfident. They were not presumptuous. They were not arrogant men. But they were men who believed God. Believed God, and they had inward evidence of that faith. And they had confidence in Him. Their confidence was not in themselves. Their confidence was in Him, that He would keep His word. Now, my friends, this assurance, which I'm urging us to seek, this assurance of our interest in Christ, is what makes a man leave all and follow Christ. You see, uncertainty leads to indifference. But confidence in Christ makes a man willing to die for Christ. I read one time years ago about some of the old Moravians who lived hundreds of years ago, who literally sold themselves into slavery in order to preach to the slaves. Now, that man believed God. And some of them, years and years and many years ago, some missionaries had themselves committed to leper colonies. They went in and lived with lepers, and they contacted the disease themselves and became lepers to preach to the lepers. Now, that kind of assurance, that leads a man to confidence in Christ and causes him, like the man who found the treasure in the field, to sell all to buy the field, to sell all to purchase the one great pearl. I have a missionary friend on the Ivory Coast in Africa. He and his wife and little girl had been missionaries to Africa for 5 years. They live deep in the bush. They have no running water. They have no electricity. They live on the food of the natives. They've been there for 5 years. Why do men do things like that? Love for Christ, confidence in Christ, confidence of their relationship with Christ, love for the gospel. I have a friend that's been in Mexico as a missionary for 20 years. All of his children are grown now and moved back to the United States, but he and his wife are still down there. And I asked him one time, I said, "Are you happy in Mexico?" He said, "Happiness has nothing to do with it. I'm where God wants me." That's faith. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that this assurance of our interest in Christ is what makes a man willing to die for Christ. You know what Paul said to those people when he was leaving them in Acts 20? He said, "Why do you weep? Why do you weep for me? Why do you break my heart? I'm ready not only to go to Jerusalem and be bound, but I'm willing to die for the Lord. I believe." Now, uncertainty won't give you that confidence. It just won't do it. Our Lord said, if any man put his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, here's my question. This thing, examining yourselves, on what basis or how can we examine ourselves to determine faith? Well, here's the key to that. Here's the key. When we are examining ourselves and trying to determine whether we be in the faith, our faith and our interest in Christ must be determined by the Word of God. Could I make that clear to you? Building your hope for eternity on a feeling, that's folly, sheer folly. Building your hope for eternity and trying to determine your interest in God based upon an experience that you had years ago, that's folly. Building your hope for eternity on a profession of faith or on ceremonialism or ritualism or on a church standard is sheer folly. Let our saving interest be determined by what is written in the Word of God. That's our only foundation of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen to John 20, verse 31. "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name." Isaiah 8, 20. "If they speak not according to the law and the prophets, it's because there's no light in them." 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You cannot determine your saving interest by your feelings. Feelings change. You cannot determine your saving interest by some experience. Satan can give you an experience. Drugs can give you an experience. Alcohol can give you an experience. All kinds of circumstances can give you an experience. You can't determine your interest in Christ and your relationship with God by a profession of faith or by going through a religious ceremony. It must be determined by the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. He hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. How can I say the Lord is my helper? Because He hath said, I'll not leave you. And what I say must be based upon what He said, not what I think. My thoughts are not God's thoughts, and my ways are not God's ways. He said in Isaiah, as the heaven is high above the earth, so high are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. And He said again, there's a way that seemeth right unto men, and the end is destruction. Let our faith and let our relationship with God be determined by what He says. Now, some people think it doesn't matter what a man believes. It really doesn't matter as long as he's sincere. Well, it does matter. It most certainly does matter. We must believe God. And the revelation we have of God is Christ, His Son, and His Word, the incarnate Word and the written Word. We must believe the incarnate Word, and we must believe the written Word of God. We have no other foundation for faith but the Scriptures. So it becomes every man to weigh his hope in the light of the Word of God. A doctrine is true because God says it. Not because I feel it, not because I think it, not even because I believe it, but because God said it. If we can't turn to the Scripture and read the Scripture in its context now, that's not taking a verse out of the Scripture and out of the context and making it say what we want it to say. For no Scripture is of any private interpretation. It must fit in with the whole Word of God. We must put the Scripture with the Scripture. The best commentary on the Scriptures is the Scriptures themselves. That's the best commentary. And so, my friend, it does matter what we believe. So I heard about a sign in front of a Bible college down south somewhere. That sign says this, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Now, what's wrong with that? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. What's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with it is the middle line. God said it, and that settles it, whether I believe it or not. My believing it hadn't got anything to do with settling it. Your believing it has nothing to do with settling. It's what God said. Now, I'm not afraid to submit my belief in God's absolute sovereignty to the Word of God. I believe God is absolutely sovereign because that's what it says in the book. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased in the heavens and the earth and the seas and all deep places. I'm not afraid to submit my doctrine and my belief in the fall of man and the consequences of that fall to the Word of God. In Adam, all die. In Adam, death passed upon all men. Because of one man's sin, we became sinners. I'm not afraid to submit my doctrine, my belief in the blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish or spot. I'm not afraid to submit that to the Word of God. I'm not afraid to submit my belief in the grace of God. Salvation by grace through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. If righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. I'm not afraid to submit my belief in God's grace, believer's baptism, the Lord's table, to the Word of God. I'm not afraid to submit my belief in the everlasting covenant of grace and perseverance of the elect to the Word of God. Because that's what the Word teaches. The word covenant is used in the Scripture almost 300 times. God is a God who works by covenant. And I do not ask you if you believe these things. That's not the issue. I'm asking you, have you searched the Scriptures? Is this what the Word of God teaches? It's not a matter of what you believe or what I believe. It's what God says. What we believe is not the issue at all. It's what God says. Have you only accepted what someone said? That's dangerous. Have you only accepted what you think, what you feel? Well, this is not right. That's not right. Now, you listen to me. God is the standard of right. God doesn't do something because it's right in your eyes. If God does it, it's right. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? When God was going to destroy Sodom, and Abraham was praying about Sodom, if he could find 50 righteous, or 40, or 30, or 20, or 10, this is what he said. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Yes, he will, because he is right. God is truth. God is just. God is holy. God is righteous. Have you only accepted what someone has said or what you think? I dare not advance one foot beyond the Word of God. Happy is the man whose faith is founded on the Word of God. Happy is the man whose faith can endure the trial of the book. The trial of the book. Not the trial of public opinion. He doesn't preach to please men. He doesn't seek to please men. He knows if he seeks to please men, he's not the servant of Christ. Happy is the man whose faith can stand the trial of the Word of God, who dares to say, I don't fully understand all of this. I prophesy in part. I know in part. I see through a glass dimly. But one day, face to face, I'll know as I have been known. And I speak to you the gospel of God in a mystery, hidden wisdom. And those who have been brought to saving faith never cease to be amazed. Never cease to be amazed that God should condescend to dwell with them anyway. That's what amazes them. They're amazed that God even condescends to dwell with them, to give His Son to die for them, to take any notice of them. David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy hand, the moon, the stars, the things that thou hast made, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? Old Charles Wesley wrote that hymn, can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? I'm amazed. Died he for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Most people would expect God to save them. Most people would expect God to show mercy. Most people would expect God to redeem them. Isn't that what God's for? But that's not what John Newton said. Old John Newton, who wrote the song you sang, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, he said this, when I get to heaven, by the grace of God, three things are going to amaze me. One, I'm going to be amazed to find some people there I never expected to see. And he said, secondly, I'm going to be amazed to miss some people. Some folks won't be there that I thought would be. And thirdly, the greatest and most amazing marvel of all is that I'll be there. And then Solomon said this, will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, how much less the house that I've built. You expect God to dwell in the house you've built? We do. We take it for granted. We build us a church and put a rug down the aisle and a few pictures on the wall and stand a pulpit up and put a man behind it and say, well, come on in, God, now we fix this thing up. Solomon built that magnificent temple, and then he said, will God dwell in this place? David said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Who am I? That's David. Charles Spurgeon said this, that's the great preacher of England back in the last century. He said, when I came to Christ, I had no knowledge of any personal or saving interest in the work of Christ. I just knew that it was written in God's Word. He was made sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I just knew it was written in God's Word, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God. And I looked to it. on the basis of His Word. I trusted in Him on the strength of His promise. Sink or swim, I said, I'm going to cast myself on Him. Great Son of God, You have lived and died for sinners. Here's a sinner who will trust You. I trust You. I believe You. And God spoke peace to my heart. My friend, it does matter what a man believes. And you cannot base your faith, nor can you determine your faith on feeling or experience. So people say, well, I know I'm saved because God hears my prayer. I know I'm saved because I saw a great light. I had a vision. I know I'm saved because I saw Christ standing at the foot of the bed. I know I'm saved because I remember the time and the place I was there. I know I'm saved because I was there when it happened. God have mercy on your soul. That's no foundation for faith at all. We know we're saved because of what He says in His Word, based on His Word and His Word alone. You cannot know a thing about God apart from the Word of God. You cannot determine anything about a relationship with God at all except by the Word of God. We know these things because He has said it. Abraham believed God that he was able to perform all that He promised. And if he hadn't promised it, you can't believe it. Paul summed it up. He stood on the deck of that ship and he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be exactly as He told me. That is saving faith. All right, look at this now. Faith that saves, saving faith, is a faith that stands alone. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, it's not faith and my works. It's not faith and my morality. It's not faith and my church membership, faith and my baptism. It's not faith and my feeling. For by grace are you saved through faith, but that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What's the gift of God? Faith. It is given unto you not only to suffer for Him, but to believe on Him. Repentance is the gift of God. God hath granted repentance to the Gentiles. That's what the apostle said. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Any saving grace is the gift of God. It's not of works. God does not require you to produce a righteousness. He requires you to receive one that Christ produced. God does not require you to create life, but to receive Him who is life. God does not require you to live up perfectly to a standard. You'd fail this very moment. But to receive a person who kept that standard and who became your representative and your surety and fulfilled all that that standard required, the holy law of God. God does not require you to understand Him, but to believe Him. Do you see what I'm saying? A lot of people say, well, if I don't believe anything I can't understand. Oh, you believe a lot of things you can't understand. That sun coming up in the morning precisely at the right place at the right time, and all those stars on their given courses, and that little baby that's born from a microscopic seed that you can't even see with even his personality incorporated in that seed. Not only his personality, but his gifts and talents and strength of brain and heart and every fingernail and toenail already in that microscopic seed. You don't understand that, but you believe it. I believe God. And I'll tell you this, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And without faith, there's no approach to God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's the first approach to God. It's by faith. There's no coming to God or approaching God except by faith. And without faith, the gospel profits you nothing. As I preach the Word of God to you, if you cannot receive it by faith, not by understanding, but by faith, It'll profit you nothing. You know what it says in Hebrews 4:2? Unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, talking about the people of the Old Testament. But the gospel did not profit them. Did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe. So it profited them nothing. They heard what you're hearing. But it didn't profit them because they didn't believe. Without faith, there's no salvation. Listen to our Lord. When he sent his disciples out to preach, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized. He said, what's the baptism got to do with it? He's confessing his faith. He's publicly and openly identifying himself with Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And then without faith, prayer is useless. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, but let him ask in faith. In faith. That's believing God. You see, saving faith has to do with a person. I told you this last week, and I tell you again, Abraham believed God. He wasn't saying he believed there is a God, or he believed in God. He believed God. He believed him personally. See, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life. This life's in his Son. This sanctification, redemption, and righteousness, and wisdom, revelation, all things are in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Not he that believes there is a Son. The devil believes that and trembled. But he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. The one object of faith is Christ. Oh, for faith to embrace him, to lay hold upon him, to believe him. The one reason for faith is Christ. The one hope of Christ, of faith is Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now you say your message was saving faith as opposed to religious profession. Let me give you two or three things and I'll close. False faith can do many things. Excite the affections, reform the outward man, speak well of Christ, feel sorry for sin, tremble under the word of God. But like I told you last week, false faith can never believe, trust, love, and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And I'm talking about Christ for all things. Jesus Christ for acceptance with the Father. Jesus Christ for sanctification. It's not my sanctification and my holiness. I don't have any holiness. My holiness is Christ. Christ alone. Can you rest in him? Look to him? Believe him? Now I have two messages on this tape, cassette tape. Two messages on the same tape. The one I preached last week, True Believers Never Quit. And the one I just brought on saving faith or religious profession. If you want it, send $2 and write to the address given to you now. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.